Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show today with a wonderful guest who's an expert on the topic of today's show. One of the biggest challenges for a multifamily owner or management executive is increasing the NOI at a property. One way to achieve this is to increase revenue. With this in mind, our topic today is 15 ways to increase revenue at your multifamily property. But joining me on the Multifamily Matters hotline is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, a multifamily owner and educator. Welcome, Gino.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Great. Great to have you here. Just for our listeners, to give them an idea, I came across a blog that you had written last year, entitled 15 Ways to Increase Revenue in Your Multifamily Property, and I read it with great interest, and I can tell you that a lot of the items, most of the items in there are very sound items, and they seem like kind of no-brainers, but sometimes we need to hear a little bit about that again to remind us of some potential opportunities we may have on a property. So let's kind of dive into it. First of all, what caused you to write this blog, and let's go through a couple of the first items.
Well, that's a great question. I think, Paul, what I was struggling with when I first got into multifamily, I was thinking about it from a landlord's perspective. I wasn't really thinking about it from an investor's perspective. And when you think about it from an investor's perspective, your number one goal is to really elevate that NOI, that net operating income. And there's only two ways to do that. You either increase revenue or you decrease expenses. So I started on the journey, and I started writing these blogs with Jake and Gino. And what I found was I was learning more about the topic than I was actually teaching. For me, it was great. It was a great way to actually expand our business, to learn about these multiple ways to actually increase the income on the property. So I was actually energized. We started implementing a lot of these things. And, you know, since I've written them, we've come up with five or six additional ones. Because once you start operating these properties, whether you're operating, you know, a B-type property, there's one type of income generator. Then you operate a C-type property, which is a lower-class property. There's another income-type generator. So I was really, you know, from the very beginning, I said, listen, we have to start focusing on this and trying to get that income up as quickly as possible on these properties.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense. So our listeners get an idea. You own properties. Geographically, where are they located? And also, what kind of size are they?
Sure. Well, let me give you a real 30-second background. I bought my first property with Jake back in 2013, February of 2013. It was a little 25-unit property. We bought it in Maryville, which is a submarket of Knoxville, Tennessee. The majority of our assets are in the east part of Tennessee. We have since scaled from February 2013 to now. We have over 900 units, ranging anywhere from that small 25-unit complex up to 281 units, all owned in-house, no syndication. So that's me, Jake, and another partner. And we bought them by refinancing, repositioning, buying these value-add properties, where that's the key word now. Everyone calls it value-add. But we buy some really, truly mom-and-pop value-add properties. And there's a lot of these income generators that these mom-and-pop landlords are not implementing. So people are like, oh, well, that's so obvious. But yet to someone who's in the industry, it's obvious. But to someone who's just starting out or who's just been running a property for the last 20 years and just has done the same thing, these things become very big value adds.
Yeah, and kind of jumping into a few of the ideas that you put as far as your 15 ways to increase revenue, the first one that was there was one that I know in reading the blog you had an opportunity to implement, but it may not be possible for everyone, and that was to add additional units.
That one is pretty obvious, but let me tell you, we bought our second property. We had a resident manager in there. Did we need a resident manager? You know, in this property, he was just not a good fit for us. He'd been on the property for 11 years. he thought he owned the property. So for us, in the short term, we got rid of him. We rented out his unit. He was getting a unit for free. We ended up paying and taking the property manager in-house. We ended up generating another $700 a month from that one unit, which is, listen, that's over $8,400 a year just in income.
Sure.
Do that at a cap rate, that's amazing. That's a huge turnaround. On our third property, we took it over. It had 136 units. The owners were using five units as storage units. We ended up taking those, turning those into apartments. Five units at $600 a month is an additional $3,000 a month. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, we have another property that we're looking at right now that has a really massive office. We don't need that size of an office. We're going to cut that office up and get another 2 one-bedroom units out of it. Anywhere you can find it. If you have self-storage, if you have storage space in a basement and you can convert that into an apartment, we do that. And one of our properties, we had, believe it or not, we had a barber shop. And it was just really weird. It was a commercial space. And we said to ourselves, this is not generating income. It's not being rented out right now. Let's turn it over. We spent, I don't know, between $8,000 and $10,000 to turn that. You know, we got our money back in a year. And on top of that, it just adds a tremendous amount of value to the property because it's really elevating the income on the property.
Yeah, and then also I think you had there that properties have gone now to washer and dryer connections or providing washer and dryers and inside the units. And if you have laundry rooms, you could potentially convert those.
And those, I guess, are two separate issues. Washer dryer hookups, you know, in the C space, maybe not as much as the B space, but a lot of apartment communities are now offering washer dryer hookups in each individual apartment. So you can charge a little bit of a premium for that. The laundry revenue, we love it when we take over properties and they're being run by mom and pops because those units, those laundry machines are usually 10 to 15 years old. They're broken down. They're not working. They're inefficient. So we'll call our company in, Caldwell Gregory. We'll call them in and say, hey, listen, let's do a 60-40 split on the revenue. We don't mind sharing the revenue because we don't want to be in the laundry business. We don't want to be cleaning out lint. We don't want to be taking care and repairing these machines. They'll come in. They'll give us, you know, pretty brand new machines. They'll give us a little commission up front as a bonus. We'll redo the whole laundry room up. And it's an amazing amenity for the tenants. They love it because the machines are finally working. They're new. And you have to think about it. People are putting their clothes into something like that. So they want to have something that looks brand new that actually works. So it's a twofold with the laundry. You're adding a great amenity, it's working, and you're also generating revenue from it.
Yeah. And then you talked a little bit about the storage, but in your blog, you had mentioned that you had some properties that had garages that were just filled with a bunch of miscellaneous items.
I love this for mom and pops because a lot of them, what happens when you have a property and you've had it for 10 or 15 years, like I said, you just don't think outside the box. See those garages there. And what I love about storage, basically it's twofold. First thing is you have a tenant who's going to pay an additional $20 or $30 or $50 per month to store their stuff. The second thing is once they have that stuff stored in the garage, they're less likely at the end of the year when you raise the rent up $10 or $15 to move because they've got to move all that crap out too. So it's twofold. You're adding a great amenity because a lot of people who are, you know, renting apartments, they need storage. Great way to add revenue, and it's another amenity that tenants are using. And I think when you go into a property, I've known a lot of guys who actually do self-storage or these mini sheds where they actually get them prefab, pre-built. If there's a demand in your market and you don't see that there's self-storage units around you, that might be an amenity. It might cost you $3,000 or $4,000 per pod to build, but if you can generate another $50 or $60 per month, you can pay off that asset in 3 years and have that thing cash flowing and add the amenity and add the income to the property.
That's exactly right. Now, interestingly enough, you had late fees listed in your revenue generators. Tell us a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I first started renting properties, I sort of felt bad. You know, somebody would come in late, pay their rent late. And, you know, when you have one or two or three units or four units, I guess you can get away with it. But once you start building a business, and listen, let's not kid anybody, multifamily is a huge business. You have to start treating everybody fairly. So you have to start implementing rules because if John knows that Mary down the hall gave her, you know, her rent in late, what do you think John's going to do? He's going to first complain, and it's also discriminatory. How can you have one person pay the rent late and not charge him, not have another person? You have to establish the rules. So I think the late fee is a fantastic way to establish rules and also generate additional revenue. You want people to pay on time because my mom, you know, God bless her, the immigrant that she is, she always said to me, You know, if the bank ever comes to you and says, hey, listen, you can be late on your payment, we won't charge you. The bank wants you to pay your bills on time. You should expect your tenants, if you're giving them a really reasonable and an affordable product, that they should be able to pay their on time, because no one's going to wait for your bills. So it's a great way. It's a 5% generator. I mean, you're talking about 900 units, 10 or 15 people paying late every month. It also deters them from paying late because, you know, they know that extra 5% is coming. You want them to pay on time, and it's a great way to generate additional fees.
Okay, great. Well, I want to remind our listeners that you can provide us with topic and guest ideas at our website, which is www.multifamilyradio.com. Also, you can listen to the show not only on the radio live on Business 1110 on Fridays at 10 o'clock, but you can also listen on the KTEK website, which is www.business1110ktek.com, or the iHeartRadio app, or the Business KTEK app, or you can always go to the Multifamily Matters website, which again is multifamilyradio.com, and listen to any archived episode at any time. We are going to be right back with more on the 15 ways to increase revenue in your multifamily property after this message.
Property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing 15 ways to increase revenue at your multifamily property. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me on the Multifamily Matters hotline is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, and he's also a multifamily owner and educator. Gino, before the break, we were just talking about late fees. And again, for our listeners, you had written a very informative and educational blog about the 15 ways to increase revenue at your multifamily property. And we've gone through a few of them. One of the ones that I also read in there was about billing back utilities, and I think that's becoming more and more of a common practice in some demographics. I think it's harder to do, like the affordable demographic, but it's something that you kind of, I guess, changed on the properties that you invested in. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, utilities are a huge expense on these properties. And, you know, when they were built 30 and 40 years ago, I don't think they had the foresight of water and electric and, you know, the utility usage being so expensive. So they built these properties usually with one main water meter. So for an operator to go in there and to put 136 meters into each apartment, it's sort of not feasible to do that. So what you do is you just call up a company called the Ratio Utility Billing Company. There's a lot of them out there. You can just Google it, and what they'll do, they can either do it for them, you can either have them do it or you can do it in-house. You just have part of that utility bill billed back to each tenant, basically, on whether it's a per square foot basis or it's a number of residents who are occupying each apartment. And it is a massive way for people to get back part of that expense. You can bill back water, sewer, and trash. And, you know, I'll give you a simple example. What I had to do when I bought my four unit, I had a four unit in New York. I had one master meter running the entire property, and there was four units in there. Every time I went there, I would see lights on, and I was paying full utilities. As soon as I split it up and I had the tenants paying for their own utilities, what happens? Twofold. Number one, I save on the utility expense, but number two, the utilities do go down because they're paying it for themselves. So that is one of the best ways to actually, you know, generate revenue for your property. It's either lowering the expense and raising the income. And, you know, people say out there, well, everyone's doing it right now, but you'd be amazed at how many operators out there are not billing back using the ratio utility billing system. It's amazing to me. Some markets don't allow for it, but let me tell you, the majority of markets out there are having to do this because, you know, when you're talking about, you know, $1,000, $2,000 a month in water bills for properties that are 20 and 30 units, it's just not feasible for the operator to pay for it. So once somebody does it in the market, everyone else tends to follow.
Yeah, and I want to also just let our listeners know that what Gino said is correct, that in some markets it's not allowed, in some states, some municipalities, mm-hmm. In most it is. I know in Texas there's a state allocation formula that you have to use to not be in violation. So, you know, mm-hmm. if someone is interested in doing that, obviously, you know, dot all your I's and cross all your T's from you know, a standpoint of what you can and can't do. But it is a great way to be able to recoup that money and utilize it in other ways if you have other projects you have on the property.
I agree.
You had also in your blog another way to generate revenues on the application aspect of it, as far as when someone applies. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's one of the very first things that I made a mistake when I first started investing a long time ago. I would, check a tenant and I would go by my gut instinct. And I learned real quick that you just can't do that. You have to have some type of application process, whether it's a background check, criminal, credit. And, you know, applications can cost a landlord $15 or $18 to an application. And now in our market, we charge $50 per tenant on an application fee. So you can see there's a nice spread. You're protecting your business, you're doing it the right way, and you're charging the going rate on that. So as far as applications go, I would recommend, not even recommend, I would tell anybody to get into the business, you have to qualify your tenants. And if the tenant is not willing to fill out an application, you saved yourself a headache of trying to qualify him, because you do not want to put in somebody who's not qualified to be there, who can't pay, who's a criminal. Because if he can't pay, it's going to take you so much more longer to evict him, the damage he's going to do. So applications are also twofold. They protect you and they're generating revenue. Now, if you want to jump into some of the other fees, whereas there's a pet fee, Knoxville, Tennessee is really huge with pets. I would say about 50% of the renters in Knoxville, Tennessee have pets. So what are you going to do? Are you going to exclude half of the potential tenant base? We can't do that. We just simply can't do that. And we know people love tenants. They love pets. So we'll even put a dog park on our property to act as an amenity for them. Pets, you can charge an extra $10 or $15 or $20 per month for each pet allowed that you want to put into an apartment, and you can charge a non-refundable pet deposit of $250 also. So great way to generate fees on that end also.
And also there's I noticed in your blog you had talked about some, what are they, move-in fees? And
yes. So this is a really, I wouldn't say strange one, but this is what we found. A lot of markets don't do this, or as you say, everyone thinks inside the box. Nobody wants to think outside the box. We were charging security deposits. And one thing we don't like about security deposits, my buddy Jake, he always says it feels as if it's a confrontational type of struggle between the landlord and the tenant. You have money holding over them. The tenant is always wondering to himself, am I going to get that money back? Am I going to get that money back? And what we ended up doing is we ended up going to a non-refundable move-in fee. Some properties charge $450 a month. Some properties charge $600 a month. Tenant moves in, The fee is non-refundable. We use that money, put that money in the bank, or we actually use it to turn the apartment. When the tenant leaves, no harm, no foul, because, you know, sometimes when a tenant damages something, you have to hold part of the deposit. We don't worry about it. We have something where we use a sure deposit. We have a surety bond on these units. So it's a type of insurance, how we protect ourselves. But it's a real clean and easy way to rent out an apartment. Once it's rented out, tenant moves in. And if you have a slow month and you want to run a special, you can drop that move-in fee from $450 to $150, let's say, so you can generate some type of action. But in our market, it's not only permissible, a lot of companies are doing it. It's a lower barrier of entry for tenants to come in, because if they have to come in with a full month security, some of them can't afford it, even though they're getting back after 12 months. In their mind, tenants always think to themselves, am I really going to get that security deposit back? So lower barrier of entry, less money, and it's also generating revenue for us day one, where we can actually put it back in to help turn that apartment.
And as you said, it's removing that adversarial feeling between the landlord and the renter. Renter's insurance was another thing that you had in your blog. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's ironic, because we're trying to go to a policy where we want to institute and have tenants have renter's insurance across the board. There's some platforms like AppFolio where they can charge, you know, $8 or $9 or $10 a month, and you can upcharge and charge a little bit more to give to the tenants. We know when you have an issue where you've had fires on the property and tenants come to you and say, well, listen, you know, my insurance covers it. No, their insurance doesn't cover your insurance does not cover contents inside an apartment. So to educate the tenants, for an extra 10 or 15 bucks a month, they're going to get their contents all insured. If somebody comes to their apartment and gets hurt, they have that type of insurance. So there's somewhere where you can get a cheaper form of insurance and just upsell to them and offer them that insurance. It's not only protecting you, it's actually educating them and giving them something that a lot of them wouldn't even know is out there. And I think all renters should have renter's insurance. It's such a low barrier of entry. It's so inexpensive, and it's a great protection for them.
And you had mentioned the app was AppFolio?
Yeah, we use software called AppFolio, so they can buy it through our software provider, AppFolio, and we can offer them renter's insurance through there.
Okay, that's great. Then something that I found very interesting that I don't know that a lot of people in the Houston, Texas market are doing is short-term rentals.
Short-term rentals are great. I mean, hey, listen, everyone knows Airbnb, but we took it a step further. We had a property in Jefferson City that had, you know, studios and had small one beds, and it seemed as if tenants were coming on and going, listen, I only need 3 months. I only need 4 months because I'm doing this job and I'm going to be out of here 4 months. The majority of landlords don't want to do that. And I can understand why. It's a higher turnover. You know, it's just, you know, very seasonal. But we had a couple and we tested it. And listen, you can get a really nice premium, nice markup, because people don't want to lock in for a whole year. Maybe they're only going to be in an area for 6 months. So if you see that there's demand, if you're in a touristy kind of area, we're near Gatlinburg with the Smoky Mountains, beautiful place. People want to come in short term for the summer and work. You can charge them a nice premium to do that on those. And, you know, like I said, a lot of landlords weren't doing it. So you just have to, as a business owner, as someone who's an entrepreneur, just listen to what the market is asking for. And our market was asking for that. And we get a nice premium for the one beds as opposed to the guys who are signing up for a year.
Can you share with the listeners what type of a percentage premium you get when you?
Well, it's great. I'm just trying to recall what the last one was. But if a one bedroom is $500, we can get an extra $150 to $200 a month in rent for the short term rentals. And if you guys go on Airbnb or VRBO, if you're in that market, you can see guys are charging $150 to $200 a night on these things. If you want to go that short term, and you can handle that all in house, you don't need to have that platform doing it. You can do it yourself.
Wow. Okay, that's great. All this is great information. I'm sure that our listeners are excited to hear some of these ideas, because we don't see them every day here. I want to remind everybody that if they want to go to our website to provide us with some ideas for guests and topics, you can at www.multifamilyradio.com. We are talking with Gino Barbaro, who's a co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily owner and educator on his own, and he is discussing with us today a blog that he had written last year, 15 Ways to Increase Revenue at Your Multifamily Property. We will have much more in our last two segments coming up. We will be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And we're discussing 15 ways to increase revenue at your multifamily property. I'm Paul Marks, and we're talking with Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, and he's also a multifamily owner and educator. Before we get back into the discussion, I do want to take a moment to thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and also Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So, Gino, we've been through a lot of the ideas, of the 15 ideas that you had in your blog from last year, the 15 ways to increase revenue at your multifamily property. One of the ones that we haven't touched on yet, you have listed as rent amenities. Having to do with if you have a fitness center or a clubhouse that's not being utilized all the time. Let's touch on that.
That's actually really cool. And Paul, I mean, if you think you have a tenant or two who's into yoga, who's a personal trainer, or even a clubhouse where they want to have, let's say, a coach, a business coach, and they want to sit down and utilize that, what better way to create a community? And that's what you want to do with your multifamily properties. You want to create a sense of community. I mean, rent out that fitness center for an hour or 2 hours a week to each, you know, yoga student and then a personal trainer, and generate that little additional revenue, have it being used, have the tenants get together, and that sense of community. People are not going to leave an apartment complex if you offer, one, superior customer service, and two, a sense of community. And I think that one might not generate as much revenue for you, but the ability to get these people together and have them, you know, learn, you know, how to coexist and how to have fun together, I think is a great way to generate revenue with that.
Well, and what's interesting, I can speak to that in some sense that last year I visited a multifamily property on a Saturday. And when I pulled into the parking lot to go in to speak with the manager, the there was a big box truck, and they had, I believe, just finished up some type of a spin class inside the property, inside the clubhouse, or maybe it was in the fitness center, I'm not sure. But they had stacked outside maybe 15 or 20 of spin bicycles, which obviously a typical multifamily property is not going to have that equipment on site. So they, you know, the impression I got was that somebody wanted to do a spin class, whether it was the management or whether the people who conduct the spin classes, and they brought in the equipment and set everything up, and then were able to provide that for the residents that wanted to take advantage of it. So it does make sense. It may not have been a revenue generator for the property, but it certainly was something that, you said, as you said, can create a sense of community.
And, you know, you always think about that. But when you're looking at it from a tenant's perspective, they're going to rent the property. If your property has a fitness center, well, maybe the tenant doesn't need to spend another $30 to go to a gym. So that's built in, right?
Right.
If you have a pool, he doesn't have to belong to a pool. You have the pool there, right? If you have a clubhouse, all these amenities that you have on the property, tenants put some type of monetary value on that. So you're able to charge a little bit more for these amenities, but also not only that, it's called tenant retention. So the tenant retention is not maybe one of those 15 ways, but when you retain a tenant longer, one of your highest costs other than property taxes on a property is tenant turnover. So when you're eliminating or lowering the tenant turnover, you're actually increasing your NOI from saving, you know, $1 of expense saved is a dollar in your pocket. So if you can retain tenants longer and keep them happier, your NOI is definitely going up.
All right. So you have on your list what can be a controversial amenity, potentially. I've heard different management executives react in different ways when the topic of parking comes up. You know, in this market where our show is broadcast, we have a lot of garden-style apartments that have vast parking areas. And and I've seen management companies at these properties where they will charge for reserve spaces, and then they decide that's a bad idea, and then they don't do it, and then a couple of years later they'll go back and do it again. Obviously, they do it as a way to create an amenity for the residents, as far as, you know, but they charge for that. But then, mm-hmm. There are some the issues that can always come up when people park in the space and someone has to come in and tow a car and so forth. So tell me a little bit about your experience with parking and why it's on your list of 15 ways to generate revenue.
Well, for me, this was really a huge generator for me. I had a 4-family house in New York, and we were renting out parking spaces. You know, a 1-bedroom apartment gets 1 car, 2-bedroom apartment gets 2 cars. We were renting out spaces for $50 a month, an extra 3 spaces, another $150 a month we were generating because we had a little parking garage, pad in the back of the property. Huge generator. You know, in that same town where I lived in, there were guys, the street parking was terrible. So there were, you know, dry cleaners down the street, or there was a deli, you know, off times would actually, you know, rent space to the owners to have their owners park there. I think it's a fantastic amenity. Here in Florida, I know a lot of guys will do covered parking and will be able to charge more because they have covered parking. It's an amenity because it rains a lot down here. You have covered parking. And as far as reserved, we don't do reserved. Although, you know, if you make it clear that if everyone has enough parking, if you have any extra inflow parking, I don't see why not. I don't see why you wouldn't be able to charge for that extra parking if people need it. Depending on the type of the city, if the parking is in demand in the city, it's like I keep saying, it's all at the market. If there's a demand in the city, and who says you need to just rent to your tenants? Let's say you have a complex right next door to you, and you can reserve some parking for them that they don't have. I would always look into that because parking is tough. You need parking. You need to have enough. And that's one thing when you start looking at properties, make sure when you buy properties that there is enough parking for the tenants. Because, I mean, listen, I don't know. I'm a New Yorker. I've been to Brooklyn before, driving around $2 million brownstone and not being able to find a parking spot for 2 hours, 20 minutes at a time can be really frustrating for a tenant.
I can imagine. And there are companies out there that that will go to a property and help them monetize their parking, mm-hmm. especially in urban environments where a property may have a parking garage, and you know a lot of the residents are gone during the day, but there's a lot of commercial properties in the area that could utilize the parking. They figure out a way to help monetize that for you. So if you have a property that's in that type of has that type of a location, then it's something you may want to look into. You also have on your list cable TV. Talk a little bit about that.
Cable is a huge generator. We got into it. I would always recommend to hire somebody to do this. We found a team member on our team who does the due diligence for us. He'll go in, he'll see how many cable, you know, companies. Hopefully you have a couple in the market so there's a little competition. You want to be able to go in and see if you can lock up an exclusive with one of these companies. Now, there's different types of plans. Some of them where the cable companies want to share the revenue with you, where they want you to actually bill back tenants, not in favor of that. I'd rather give them the exclusive on the property, come in, And I learned the power of this by, we bought a property in March of 2016, 156 units. The people selling to us were actually signed a new contract the month before we took it over. It was a $50,000 cable contract exclusive for 7 years. Came all to us because at the closing, the majority of it was all ours. We are in the process right now of we closed on a property 2 months ago. We're trying to bundle a couple other properties with this, about 200 units. It is a fantastic way. You have to offer this amenity anyway. You might as well give the cable companies the exclusive to go in there. And, listen, you offer your service, but you pay for it. So these guys are really competitive about it. And it's, like I said, just another fantastic way to generate revenue.
Great, right. And next on your list was vending. So I'm assuming the vending machines that you put in the common areas?
Yeah, this one's a little bit less for us. This is another one definitely where you have either laundry machines, where you have a laundry, or you have your office where people come in and pay depending on traffic. You can have a lot of companies come in and put in vending machines, or else you can buy vending machines yourself and load them up with whatever it is you want to talk about in the laundry units. Also, if you're trying to sell this, whether it's soap or detergent or anything for the machines, you can generate money that way. This one's a little bit less for us. This is probably much better in those high urban areas. We have a lot more foot traffic and a lot more people, but I've heard people make a lot of money from vending.
There are some management companies who will do that themselves, as well as also, as you said, bring in a company to do it for them. We already discussed pet fees earlier. What do you find with the service animals? Do you have any in your market? Do you have any issues with people with the service animals?
We haven't yet, and actually that's a good question. I need to talk to Jake about that. But obviously they have to be able to have that service animal. If there's a service animal that's there, they have to be allowed to have that. Now, good question. I'm not sure if we charge a pet deposit for it, because you just want to be able to protect your property, because pets do, they're like kids. They have wear and tear. They do wear and tear on the property. So
sure.
Not sure about that question. I've got to ask Jake, and I'll get back to you on that.
All right, that'd be great. All right, we're going to take a break here in just a second. We will be right back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing 15 ways to increase revenue at your multifamily property. I am Paul Marks, and my guest is Gino Barbero, co-founder of Jake and Gino, and he's also a multifamily owner and educator. So, Gino, As I mentioned in previous segments, I was very interested when I read your blog that you had written last year about the 15 ways to increase revenue at your multifamily property. We've been through almost all of the 15 ways. The last one on the list that was actually in the blog was built-in increases. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, Paul, we've been fortunate over the last 5 or 6 years or 7 years that rents have been going up, and they're continuing to go up amazingly because there's more people renting. There's more demand for our, you know, product. And what we do is we're not afraid of pushing rents 3% every year, 2% a year, and it's been going on. And, you know, over 900 units, we have maybe 7 or 8 vacancies. So that tells me and tells my partners that we can continue to push rents. So you need on your property to be actually be very, very wary of where your pricing is. You need to be where the market is. And if you know, you know, people ask, how do you know if you're charging too much? Well, your property is going to be vacant, basically. You're not going to be able to rent it out. So you need to be in there putting 2 to 3%, you know, depending on the market. Some markets are even going higher, but that 2% at least to stay with inflation, and you want your property to stay with the market. Because as you know, as time goes on, you know, your taxes are going to be going up, your insurance is going to be going up, your labor is going to be going up. You want your revenue to stay in pace with your expenses increasing.
So just as perspective on the market that you're in, are you having to offer any concessions
No, we're not actually. We're actually in the process of, you know, continuing to raise every year. That's one keynote. I think one of the problems in multifamily right now is those, you know, those ultra luxury, or if you like to call them brand new A properties. A lot of the markets are being saturated with them, and go into a market, see if they've got those concessions. Once you see free month or free microwave or free, you know, no move-in deposit or no security deposit waived, once you see those concessions, there's going to be some softness in the market. So just be aware of that. But in our market, we have a very strong rental market. So we've been able to raise rents. When we bought our first property back in 2013, two-bedroom unit was $475, $480, let's say. Two bedrooms for a C property now are approaching $675. So there's been a nice elevation in rental rates in our market.
Okay, great. Well, you had mentioned that since you had written the blog, you had come up with some additional revenue-generating ideas and opportunities. And what are some of those?
Sure, Paul. I think the first thing I think everybody needs to do when they're running the business is evaluate your expenses every single year. I want everybody on this call to actually go back to their insurance, have them price out their insurance every single year, get a quote, because my buddy Jake likes to say it's called the expense creep. You're really comfortable with the provider. You love your lawn care guy, but all of a sudden that bill's going up a little bit, huh? Why is it going up? You want to go to your contract services, take a look at your garbage, evaluate your services every year, see where you are, see where your price points are, bring in another bid, see what's going on. I know it's not always about price, because the relationship in any business really matters, especially insurance, but at the same time, you want to keep them honest. You want to make sure they're not overcharging you and they're delivering the value. So first thing is just evaluate your entire expense structure, see where your expenses are, and make sure that they're very competitive. I think everyone needs to do that. First one, which is, I guess, I don't know if it's relatively new, but we stumbled upon it a little while ago right after the blog, Trash Valet. There's a lot of multifamily operators that will charge $10 to $15 per month to have their tenants leave their trash outside the door and have their trash picked up, brought to the dumpster. You can either farm this out. There's companies that are creating out that will do the service for you, or you can do it in-house yourself. So really nice revenue generator. Another one we stumbled upon about a year ago, cell towers. I had always wanted to get cell phone towers and that kind of amenity on our property, but I could never get in touch with the guy to talk to. And that was a difficult one for cell towers. So what I did is I contacted a company, one of the largest private ones. If your listeners want to, you know, me to contact, put them in touch with this company, I'd be more than glad to. I'll leave my information at the end. But that, we put our entire platform on there. We haven't gotten a hit yet, but they're out there sourcing and looking for it. Great way to do that. Because the problem with cell towers now is everyone, the amount of data that we need right now, everyone's giving data away for free. They're going to have to create more cell towers. So I'm hopefully that is going to hit sometime in the future. I think another one, Paul, is just billboards. If you can put billboards out there and you can start renting space out there and you have that amenity, you can do that. Look forward to doing that. Another one that I really like, I think it's really twofold. If you have a garden style apartment or a first floor, ground floor, and you have the ability to put and create a little backyard out there where you can create fencing, indoor fence, outdoor fencing, and make it private, operators out there are charging $40 to $50 per month more for that amenity, because it's almost as if you have your own little, you know, your own little house, you have your own little private space, as you might want to say. I think another one that where I made a mistake, I'd bought a property about 10 years ago, was I bought a mixed use property and it had a restaurant in it. And I did not want to go into the restaurant business, but buying a multifamily property where you can possibly open a daycare or you have some type of cafe or some type of business in there where maybe you don't have to run it, but if you can see somebody else out there who wants to open a business and you can offer them the space, you're offering the amenity, you're generating cash flow, they're helping you pay part of the mortgage. Great way to generate revenue that way.
Yeah,
and we've covered most of them, I think.
Yeah, and one interesting thing when you mentioned the restaurant and the daycare and cafes and so forth, we had a guest on a previous show who was talking about there are a lot of properties in the urban areas that have this space available. And mm-hmm. what they're doing is they're like for 2 months, they'll have a cafe, they have a little pop-up type cafe. And then for 2 months, they'll have a boutique in there. And then for 2 months, they'll do something else. And it gives the residents some variety, and it also generates a little bit of revenue. I'm not sure how to make that happen, but I thought it was very interesting that that's what he said was a trend that was happening in some of the A-quality properties, A-class properties in mm-hmm. urban areas.
That's actually a cool idea, actually. I just like the restaurant business. I like the cafe kind of thing because, like I said, it's more community. If you're near somewhere, I mean, even a dry cleaner, laundry pickup, where people want to have a little dry cleaning space where they just want to drop off their dry cleaning, it doesn't have to be done there. They can ship it out. But something like that where, you know, low barrier. And like I said, we had taken that property that had a little hair salon, barber shop in there. Stuff like that where it's renting out and it's offering an amenity to a tenant and you can make a few bucks off of it. And that's a win-win situation.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I want you to kind of tell our listeners a little bit about Jake and Gino and also your background and how you got to where you are in the business.
Sure. I mean, Jake and Gino was formed from two guys. I was a pizza guy, and Jake was the drug rep. We had known each other for years. He was catering out of my restaurant. He was actually good friends with my brother. And I had gotten to the point in my life where I was like, I just want to make a change. I just need to get out of the restaurant. It's not fulfilling anymore. And Jake was younger, and he was up in New York and saying, listen, I feel the same way. I just don't want to work for this company. 8 layoffs in 6 years. So he takes a lateral movement to Knoxville, Tennessee. We reconnect back in 2011. We'd been talking about it. I was the one who was more educated. He was the younger guy. He'd never gotten into business before. He'd never owned real estate. We got together. It took us a long time, Paul. It took us about 18 months to find our first deal. I sort of knew what I wanted. I was fortunate that, you know, at that time, the market wasn't as elevated as it is now. But, hey, listen, I was starting out. We had no credibility. We're two Italian guys in Tennessee, so we didn't really know anybody. That's why it took us a little bit longer. But, listen, we bought our first deal. And I always tell people, you have to have a strong enough reason why to get into any business. And my why was strong enough. I had six kids. I just wanted to have my lifestyle dictated by my business, not what I had. I had my business dictating my lifestyle, which was difficult. You know, working during the holidays, working on the weekends, it just gets to you after a while. And I said, listen, I need a change. And we bought our first property. Then 3 months later, we put a bid on a second property. We bought our second property 5 months later, closed on it. And then a year after that, we had bought our third property. So we were at 200 units within a year, all because we knew what we wanted. And we just took a chance. And after the third property, Jake and I decided to write a book. I don't know what caused it. He said, let's start a podcast and let's write a book. So that's how it started. And the amazing thing about it, and you probably can attest to this also, once you learn something and you do it, you start teaching it, you learn even more. And the amazing thing is with the podcast and with, you know, the community, you get to meet so many amazing people. You have so many amazing connections. And that's how it grew. Now the education is one facet of our entire multifamily business.
That's great. And so let's talk a little bit about the educational aspect of what you're doing. You guys help folks who are looking for the opportunity to get into multifamily, or when they already own properties, how to improve what they're doing?
It's a combination of everything, Jake. Our podcast is basically based on multifamily real estate. That's what our podcast is on. We've had it over 2 years. It's called, ironically, Wheelbarrow Profits, because we want to teach a three-legged framework. You know, the buy right, the manage right, and the finance right. You know, like any investment needs those three parameters to really be working for you. The buy right and the finance right is fixed. Those are the back legs of the wheelbarrow. The manage right is just ongoing. Those are the ongoing operations. Now, if one of those three legs is not fixed, is not working properly, your wheelbarrow is going to tip over. So that's how we started out. He was outside cutting the grass. He's like, wow, this is a great idea, and I love it. So we cater to beginning investors who've never gotten into a deal. We also cater to investors who've got hundreds of units. It all depends where you are in the cycle. Some guys are just stuck with their 50 or 60 units. They want to scale up, and they don't know how to scale up in the business. So I always tell people, you have to invest in yourself. Don't think of what the cost is. I attribute a lot of my success to actually investing in my success. I've done coaching. I've become a life coach. So you really need to invest in yourself. You really need to know why multifamily. That's the most important thing. I knew what it could do for me. You know, logically, it's all about the tax benefits. It's all about the principal pay down. It's all about the cash flow. We all know that. But there has to be an emotional component to it. You have to be really bought into the system and why it'll work for you. And that's the reason why Jake and I think are successful.
Do you have something coming up later this year? Did I see that on your website?
Yeah, we do. We have our second Multifamily Mastery live event in October, October 6th and 7th. We chose Nashville. We did one in Knoxville last year. A little bit of pain in the neck for people to fly in, but Knoxville is our stomping ground. Mm-hmm. But we said, listen, Nashville, great town, great city, great food, great music. We're at the Renaissance in downtown. We're looking for about 300 people in attendance. We have a great lineup of speakers there. We're going to be presenting also. So, listen, it's you know, real estate's all about network. It's mm-hmm. all about community. It's all about relationships. And what a better way to get out, meet people, meet Jake and Gino community, and it's all multifamily. So a lot of bonuses there.
All right, we got about 20 seconds left. Why don't you throw out a way for people to get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
Sure, just go onto our website. It's jakeandgino.com. If you want to get any information, I've got over 150 blogs that I've written there. We've got all of our podcasts, and there's tons of resources out there. You want to email me, my email is gino@jakeandgino.com. You can go on to our podcast, Wheelbarrow Profits. Tons of resources on there. If anybody has any questions, just shoot me an email. I get back to everybody. So I just love talking about real estate, as you can tell. You know, I just want to our goal is actually to empower people and just to take the next level. Because I know when you first get into your first deal, there's so many unknowns. You will never know anything, but if you can have somebody there holding you accountable, you're more likely to take that action.
That's right. Well, hey, thanks so much, Gino, for joining us today. We will be back next Friday with another episode of Multifamily Matters, 10 o'clock right here on 1110 KTEK. Appreciate Gino and all of his interesting ideas, the 15 ways to increase revenue in your multifamily. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.